3CR Breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Alternative news, analysis, and current affairs. Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 8:30 a.m.
Only double.
Clap your hands.
Welcome, you're listening to 3CR on 8:55 a.m. It's International Day of People with Disability, and you're listening to me, Helen, with here with Finn and Daniel. Raphael, sorry.
How are you doing, Helen?
Oh, good morning.
Hi, Helen.
Welcome to Disability Day.
Yes, it's great to be here, and I can't believe it was this time last year we were all doing breakfast together.
Time flies when you have fun, doesn't it?
Correct.
So we've got a very big day today here on 3CR for International Day of People with Disability. We've got we've got 2 hours of breakfast here with Finn, Raphael and myself. And then after that we've got Spoken Word with Di. There's Talkback, a special edition of Talkback with Attitude with Liz Wright. We've got Arts Express, Showreel and Published or Not. And then a special two-hour edition of Ruminations. So we've got an awful lot going on, and then right through this afternoon till right till about 6 or 6:30, we've got Disability Day shows all the way through the day. And we've got some great guests as well. So, Raphael, who have you got on today?
At 7:45, we'll be talking to Colleen Felinetto, who is the winner of the 2015 Brenda Gabe Award, and that's for run by Women with Disabilities Victoria for promoting leadership for women.
And later in the show, I'll be talking to Ray Walker from La Trobe University, who's going to talk about the challenges of climate change for people with disability.
Which leaves me, I'm talking to Damien Griffith, the first people with first People Disability Network CEO, Catherine Neer, who's an autism advocate, and John Wild from Accessibility Oz about accessibility and tech issues.
Great. And before all of that, we'll have the front page.
Well, it's that. Get right down to
the real nitty-gritty now. 1, 2. The front page, where 3CR Breakfast explores what's being reported and what's not in Australia's mainstream media. How the media prioritise the day's news, including issues of bias, corporate influence, and who gets a voice and who doesn't. Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. and again at 8 a.m. A critical analysis of the nation's newspapers.
Okay, Raphael, have we got any disability news in the broadsheets today?
Well, as we know that today is International Day of Disability, which is recognised by world standards, but according to my scanning of the newspapers, or our scanning of the newspapers, it doesn't seem to be worthy of any news stories in any media that I could actually find out that was printed.
No, and what percentage of the population are people with disability?
Well, it would be approximately 20%,
yep,
at least.
But no news. We're doing nothing. We've got to get up, people. Make some news.
Yes, hurry up and make news, people. Make news now.
But there was some very important news about who was that person who was at the cocktail party, Finn?
There was.
Yes, Dylan Alcott, a privileged white person with a disability. Disability, rather, who happens to be male as well, just to add to the mix. And what was he doing? He was at a cocktail party, Snapped by the good folk at the Herald Sun, enjoying himself.
Well, Finn, that's actually really good, because it means they've got social inclusion then.
That's we're with Oprah at a cocktail party.
Oh, right. Well, he's at least mixing in the circles of the con man. That's great. I'm sure both he and Oprah were inspired by one another.
Well, so they might have been, but there was also, if a person's got a disability, quite often they're relying on public transport. I think it was on page 8 of, what was it, The Age?
It was The Age, yes.
It wasn't directly referring to International Day of Disability, but they did highlight the gap between light rail and the platforms and some of the trains to make accessibility that it could be difficult and result in a lot of accidents. Would like to thank him very much for recognising this.
And yeah, it's a very good pun as well, I'm sure.
Why?
In,
oh, the gap.
The gap in...
Mind the gap.
Yes, the gap between platform and...
And the Australian, in slightly oddly, I think they might have missed up their international days, has a special 64-page lift-out on women and work focusing or celebrating 30 years of chief executive women. Good for them, but wrong day.
Yes, that is the wrong day, but not that I want to give the Australian a free kick because there's plenty of other people to do that, but they have... although people sometimes give them a kicking for other reasons, I've noticed that Rick Morton, their social affairs commentator, has been very big or good at reporting the disability abuse the Senate hearings. And I think he's just about the only journalist to have done that, which is pretty good.
All right, so there wasn't a whole lot in the news today, but what news would we have liked to have seen if they had been reporting things properly?
Are there any questions, Finn, you would like to ask the Minister of Transport if we had one?
question without notice there. I suspect I would ask just in terms of... The Minister for Transport, I think we have one of them, but maybe I'd ask the Minister for Disability just about looking at the difference in perhaps looking at how really changing how the media covers disability to include many things like looking at accessibility, not just reporting on people looking at invisible disabilities, also looking at why isn't data collected on people with disabilities? Because there is so much from a statistical point of view that we don't actually know, so we can't say with any sort of reliability that people with disabilities do suffer injustice, because a lot of that is sadly anecdotal, and records aren't kept. Obviously, with accessibility, there's been recently a lot of things about disability parking, and now there's no problem with that, but of itself. But a lot of people now think that it is their God-given right to come to someone with a disability and say, get out of that parking spot, that's for people with disabilities. And again, inherently there's nothing wrong with that apart from people becoming vigilantes. But the problem within that is it reinforces a stereotype that access is something that is only for the few rather than access being for everyone. Also, I think universal design needs to be looked at as well. And I know that blogger L. Gibbs has also looked at what people with disability how disability issues should be covered in the media. So for those that want to look, for those that are interested, look up L. Gibbs's blog just look up L. Gibbs's blog. So
we spoke to her on the Boldness in November as well.
We did indeed, and very, very illuminating, and definitely knows her stuff about disability in the media.
Yeah, well, on International Day of People with Disability, I'd like to hear from the Minister for Disability that we don't have, talking about how, as you say, the gap should be closing. We need to hear more about jobs for people with disability, housing for people with disability and how we're actually getting some of these services. That would be the news I'd like to hear.
Well, yes, but I'm not sure that we really want to hear the news from the current social services minister, though. I think that news would be fairly bleak.
Well, as said on International Day of Disability, I'd like to actually them to organise some holiday load leaving for people who are on the disability support pension so they can have a holiday too, 17.5%, isn't it?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, Raphael, because I think people aren't really allowed to go on any overseas trips while in receipt of, I think you can only do it for a month, and once you've gone over that, then you may lose your entitlements, which is pretty sad, considering everyone else can go overseas.
Yeah.
For however long they like. Obviously, I mean, I think there should be some declaration, but once you declare, you should be able to at least declare that you're going overseas, and then.
Especially if, you're getting some experience by doing that and it's not like anyone's finding you jobs. So
no, well, exactly. You may as well do something beneficial with your time.
Well, that's the other part too is that if you actually can go overseas for a disability, if you're on a Centrelink payment, let's say a month, for example, is that actually unlawful restraint or another form of a jail sentence?
Well, I don't know if it's jail,
yeah,
quite.
It's a bit extreme. But, I mean, it is, I suppose, to a point. Point that you could argue that your liberties are being taken from you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, just quickly before we perhaps have some music, I'll just mention there's a few Disability Day events happening, all across the country today, but if you're interested in finding out what's going on today for International Day of People with Disability and you're not finding anything in the news, if you go to the IDPWD website, you will find lots of events. Just a couple on today. The City of Boroondara is holding an employment networking event for people with disability and for students and carers and disability organisations. And that's on at 10 till 2 today in Camberwell at the Parkview Room at the council offices. And Reinforce, we love Reinforce, they're launching their new CD of self-advocacy songs today called No Strangers Here. And that's between 12 and 2 at the Multicultural Hub at 506 Elizabeth Street, Melbourne. We'll be back in a bit. We'll bring you some music and a few announcements. Disability Day on 3CR. 12 hours of community radio by, for and about people with disability.
Down, I find I'm over. always racing around. I feel like I'm stuck in a hole, like a fish in a fishbowl, in a fishbowl just spinning around, with no brain to be found. I'm just looking at seaweed, just want to be free, brainless, swim away.
Song we listened to was Fishbowl by the Hacketts, and that's a bit like having a disability because we're just external from society a lot of the time. And the second track was Under the Sea by the Mutes.
And on the Big Bold Breakfast for Disability Day broadcast, it's my pleasure to welcome Damien Griffiths, First People Disability Network CEO. How are you going, Damien?
Good, thanks, Finn. Good to be talking with you again.
Great. Now, you've recently been to the UN for the periodic review, talking about the UN's concerns over people with disabilities and their treatment in Australia. What were their concerns?
Well, it was actually a very positive experience, Finn, because for the first time, disability had a very high profile in the sense that of the three sort of priority issues, there was obviously a lot of talk around immigration, there was a lot of talk around justice for Aboriginal people, but also a significant amount of focus on the rights of people with disability, which was great. One of the things that we thought was really positive, the Australian government made a commitment to what's known as a voluntary commitment to look into the issue of indefinite detention of people with disability in prisons, which is an issue that impacts disproportionately on Aboriginal people. So we're encouraged by that statement, but now it's a matter of checking out exactly what they intend to do.
Forced sterilisation of women and also torture as well. What impact has that on had on people with disabilities from the UN perspective?
Yeah, you're exactly right. The issue of sterilisation was another key focus on the part of the Universal Periodic Review process. So just to explain that further, that process means that countries from around the world more or less make comment or recommendations to Australia on a whole range of human rights issues. Sterilisation was a strong focus by a number of countries making strong statements around Australia needs to cease that practice altogether, obviously. The other issue that had a strong focus was violence, violence against people with disability, violence against women with disability, and that was something of very significant concern to the UN system. And the recent Senate inquiry that has made a recommendation that there be a Royal Commission into abuse of people with disability, these are all interrelated things, and it's something that we at First Peoples, as a member of the Australian Cross Disability Alliance, are absolutely committed that we think that that is exactly what needs to happen, a Royal Commission into violence against people with disability.
Why, for people that don't know, why is a Royal Commission into abuse of people with disability needed?
Well, as you know, Finn, this is an issue that's been hidden away for far too long, and a lot of your listeners would be only too aware of that. And we really need to give a voice to those people with disability who have been voiceless, frankly, and have been living in danger and experiencing violence. We have the Royal Commission into institutional responses into child sexual abuse, and that's really critical. And I think we're seeing what that does for some people, that they can, by sharing their stories and speaking about what they've experienced, is a really important part of the healing process for them. And I think we need to do, clearly we need the same thing to happen for people with disability around Australia. So we're very, very keen to ensure that happens. And I know that's a strong focus of the Australian Cross Disability Alliance also.
What sort of figures are we seeing of people with disabilities being abused?
Well, there's some startling figures around the place, and I think this is part of the problem and one of the reasons why we need to have a Royal Commission so we can actually expose the levels of violence. Women with disability experience violence disproportionately to the rest of the population, and I think we need to actually investigate this further to actually see how sadly common an experience it is. So the Royal Commission does give an opportunity to expose that. I think it would shock many Australians to know that the vast majority of women with disability in Australia, for example, experience violence in many different forms, and the Royal Commission is an opportunity to expose that.
Going back to the UN and the Australian government's promise to look into indefinite detention of people with disabilities, how does... You mentioned before that impacts strongly on First Peoples with disabilities. How does that exactly impact on them?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is an issue that it's one of those issues that you sort of have to stop and contemplate for a moment. It's extraordinary to think that there are people with disability around Australia, particularly in the Northern Territory and Western Australia and parts of Queensland, but we'd be pretty sure it happens all around the country, that are effectively accommodated in jail. So what happens? They are deemed unfit to plea. They're not convicted due to the nature of their disability, and then they're effectively in jail for an indefinite period of time without being convicted, which is just an extraordinary thing to contemplate, really. It's incredible to think that that happens in Australia, but it does. There are at least 100 people with disability in the Northern Territory that we're aware of that have some form of disability who are being indefinitely detained. So they are in jail for an indefinite period of time, which is an extraordinary thing. At least half of those people are Aboriginal. So this is, frankly, a national disgrace, frankly, and something that needs to be urgently focused upon. The Australian government has now recognised it as a critical human rights issue. I think that's a very positive first step. So what they've done in Geneva is to make this voluntary commitment, as I mentioned earlier, to look into best practice in terms of how to address the issue, particularly around a person being unfit to plea. And they've said that they'll look into best practice around the place. What we want them to see them do is to look overseas and to see where best practice is happening. I know in the UK there's some really important reform happening in that area, and that could be a good source of some advice.
What sort of, in terms of these promises, not only made, or commitments made by government, but also from the UN, I mean, every year it seems that we have periodic reviews, and the UN talks about disability, talks about Australia's shocking level of treatment of people with disabilities, but nothing ever seems to get done. It seems like a bit of a broken record. These periodic reviews and subsequent commitments from governments actually achieve anything?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, and I think it's a fair comment to make, Ben, because in the end there is no absolute enforceability around this, but the politics of it means that Australia is very keen to present itself in a positive light in terms of human rights internationally. And if the talk is true that Australia is wanting to have a place on the UN Human Rights Council, then they need to obviously do much better in the area of disability. So in that sense, there is an opportunity sort of to make this very political. The comments that the Australian government's made has been, you know, in front of the nations of the world only a few weeks ago in Geneva, and they will be held account by other nation states that they will see this voluntary commitment through in relation to indefinite detention, for example. So it does put pressure on. It does enable us back home to, have conversations like we are today and use the media to expose it. There was a lot of media focus on the UPR process this time around in Geneva. So while it lacks actual formal enforceability, I think the fact that we're having a conversation now about things like a Royal Commission, the fact that we're now having a conversation a lot more around indefinite detention of people with disability in prison, the fact that we're having a conversation now about sterilisation is a step forward, there's no doubt. But I agree with you that there's definitely part of what we always need to do, I think, back home as advocates is to keep that pressure on.
approach is needed? And I guess this is a fairly broad question, but what sort of approach is needed to improve the lot of people with disabilities and also Indigenous people with disabilities?
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. That is a big question. I mean, there's a number of strategies. I guess I can speak better on this from an Aboriginal perspective, but one of the things that the Commonwealth Government is committed to is a national action plan on disability in Aboriginal communities. I think that's really important. The critical thing, though, is what that plan actually says. I think in the past, these things have often made a whole lot of motherhood statements, but we actually need to see meaningful action. There is an opportunity, again, from an Aboriginal perspective, for disability to have its own targets under the Closing the Gap system. And then there is the opportunity, potentially, again, speaking from an Aboriginal perspective, for the National Disability Insurance Scheme to make a meaningful difference in the lives of Aboriginal people with disability. But, again, that work has to be led by Aboriginal organisations and Aboriginal people. We don't want... Mainstreaming hasn't worked, to be blunt, and we need a standalone system, if you like, within that system so that we can see meaningful change. So there's a number of things that need to happen. I think one of the observations I'd make too is there's still such a long way to go, as you know, as well as anybody, Finn. You know, we've still got huge steps to make in Australia in terms of employment of people with disability. I think it's still the case that Australia rates worse amongst OECD countries, amongst the, you know, the richest 20 countries or so in the world. I think it's still the case that Australia ranks worst in terms of employment of people with disability. Now, that's disgraceful, obviously, for a country as wealthy as Australia. And then we've got these other issues around abuse and neglect and those things. So there's much to be done, and it's really important that we keep, I guess, moving forward.
Why do you think it is that we don't have... We don't hear about the abuse and neglect and mistreatment of people with disabilities, and also lack of employment of people with disability in the mainstream media?
That's another great question, Finn. I think there'd be a lot of reasons for that and a lot of things to unpack. You know, I think violence is one of those issues that, you know, people are very reluctant to talk about more generally. We've seen finally some focus on it, you know, this year in terms of violence against women. But, you know, that's a real responsibility as an Australian society to protect some of our most vulnerable people. And I think you measure the, and a lot of people have said this, you measure the effectiveness of a society by how well some of the most vulnerable people are supported, and you'd have to say Australia's failing miserably because we don't even have the conversation necessarily. So, you know, I think violence is one of those issues that is very confronting for many people, and I think people don't want to believe it in some ways, and that's something that has to change. I think we're seeing some progress on that in terms of violence against women and the profile of that this year, but you know, I think there's a long, long way to go.
Well, thank you. Sadly, that's all we have time for today, Damien. But thank you very much for joining us, and keep up the good work with First People with Disabilities, and enjoy Disability Day.
Great, thank you, Finn. Good talking with you again, mate.
Thanks, Damien.
Ciao. Bye.
That was Damien Griffiths, the CEO of the First People with Disability Network.
Able-bodied Australia does not realise that people with disabilities across the board are being discriminated against. Then the government to demand that we go out and get a job without removing the disincentives like the lack of access to transport and community infrastructure, without providing accessible buildings that can provide barrier-free employment. I'm not getting a fair go, and I don't like it, and I'm saying so.
You're listening to 3CR, 855 on the AM dial.
This is the real sh from the heart, Lady MJ, telling it straight from the start. There's a few things going on since my head injury. The doctors don't know what is happening to me. Concussion, panic, migraine or epilepsy. Only time will tell, we'll just wait and see. The specialists all seem a bit clueless. This is just giving me too much stress. I wish someone could help me with all this mess. Doctor, please say I have the answer, oh yes.
No more tears inside, you'll get through this war.
Even realize what is going on in all my insides. I put on a brave face, it's my secret disguise. I know I'll get through this, it will make me wise. It happens on the train, in the buses, in the shop. Where's the medication for it all to stop? If they don't find, I'm sure to physically drop. I won't let that happy music will take me to the top.
No more tears inside, you'll get through this war.
Baby in a manger. He was on a ball and an ambulance arranger. Another time I collapsed.
Not again.
For God's sake, I'm only trying to keep trim.
Me,
the music went off, the crowd looked grim. But I'll beat all the baddest for the healing movie.
No more tears inside, you'll get through this war. If it's worth fighting for.
This will be my past when I'm mother and a wife. Someday everything is gonna be alright. I know I'll keep tough, I'm the prince of soldiers. So please remember everything I just told you. Big up to my true friends, love, love. There's an angel in the sky. Believe I'll never give up. Believe I'll never give up. Believe I'll never give up. Believe I'll never, 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 never give up.
Okay, we've been listening to No More Tears by Lady MJL Warrior. Very fitting that we played that on International Day of Disability.
Yeah, and that was great to hear from Damien Finn. It's so confronting to still hear statistics like, you know, 100 people in the Northern Territory alone in indefinite detention purely because of their disability.
Yeah, really. I agree, Helen. It's really sad, I think. A really sad indictment that people are stuck in indefinite detention purely because we don't know how to, as a country, we don't know how to deal with them and how to best accommodate them.
And it's really, really strange. It's even the part Australia has made a voluntary commitment to uphold maybe international standards, but what actually is a voluntary commitment is, does that mean that it's not actually enforceable or we just give it lip service?
It means we might not. Who knows? And we won't report on it anyway. Nobody knows.
At least as Damien said, at least it's a step in the right direction. But the problem being that none of these commitments from any country are really enforceable from the UN's perspective. So countries can do and say what they like, but and as Raphael said before, pay lip service to it, and there's really nothing. I mean, they're not going to be. Countries aren't going to be held accountable, which is pretty sad.
What do you think we need to do to mobilise and organise more so that this just I don't want to be sitting here another 40 years' time having the same conversation. There's so many activists that have been working so hard at this for such a long time.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. I think, I guess that the tectonic plates are slowly moving. If you'll bear with that analogy.
Is this really going to be in geological time?
Well, yeah, this is the Ice Age. I thought we were coming into I thought we had global warming.
I'm regretting using that analogy now. I think the tectonic plates are shifting, but I think it is going to be difficult in terms of mobilising people. And I suppose having this discussion and really getting disability issues into the mainstream consciousness somehow is going to be how it's done. But again, why disability issues aren't covered, as we've seen in today's media from our front page segment, aren't really being talked about. And when they are, it's sort of peripheral issues like disability, people wrongly parking in disability car spaces.
The scale's not quite there.
I mean, I think there are so many issues that people about disability, disadvantage, and injustice people should be talking about, and it should be covered in mainstream media because, quite frankly, it is shameful and disgraceful that there are people locked up in detention that have with disabilities. It's disgraceful that violence against women with disabilities occurs at around twice the rate of people with disability. And I think 90% of people with intellectual disabilities are being women with intellectual disabilities are likely to experience violence by the time they're 18. I think these issues, housing affordability for people and also employment, are issues that really need to be on the national agenda. And it's disgraceful that they aren't.
Well, perhaps the Honourable Mr Malcolm Turnbull, who is Prime Minister of Australia, would like to actually add this to his portfolio.
That's the news for today.
As Minister of... Is he also Minister for Disability, or is it not worthy of actually covering this or actually bringing to attention so there actually is a legal structuring place for people to actually get a say and address some of these issues? But apparently it doesn't count.
Well, I think it's really interesting because you mentioned that, because in September when he announced his new cabinet, he was criticised, including by Bill Shorten and others, for not appointing a Minister for Disabilities. And at the time, I don't know if you all picked up on it, but Adam Crichton, who's the economics editor of The Australian, responded with a tweet to basically Bill Shorten and others saying, oh, well, there's no minister for gays, there's no minister for left-handers or ugly people or midgets, and then finished his tweet with the hashtag leftard, which was a very lovely creation.
A very derogatory term.
Yeah, combining left and retard. He apologised after a huge amount of criticism, but that's the nature of the national debate. It seemed as a bit PC to suggest that 20% of the population, and with a massive reform like the NDIS on the national agenda, that would be weird to have a minister for disability.
Indeed. And I think also just with the good thing about Adam Crichton's tweet just quickly was that the person with I've now forgotten his name exactly, but someone from the Centre for Intellectual Disability in New South Wales said came back at Crichton and told Crichton why his use of language was offensive, and this was coming from a person with an intellectual disability, and I think that's a very powerful thing as well. But coming back to your point was also that people also that we do need that people really do. You're right. The discourse needs to change about around people with disabilities and really having a more rigorous discourse rather than talking about what's politically correct or isn't politically correct.
Absolutely. We'll be back with our next guest in a minute or so. And this is 3CR. You're listening on 8:55 a.m. 3CR Digital. It's International Day of People with Disabilities.
Disability culture. What is it about? You can live life free. You can live life proud. You can be living out loud. Pass the word.
The revolution.
Coming out, getting down, making it big time. Disability cool. Disability hot. The red hot power of different with a capital D. Flaunting it. Sequins on the scars. I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille. It's all these magnificent bodies, electric, downright, flat out, digging it, digging it, digging it, digging it, digging who I am, me, in all my cripple holiness, coming at you from the inside out. Pass the word.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.